Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Are we on? All right, praise God. Well, good morning, everybody. It is a blessing to be here and seeing everyone. My trip down here was a little bit short noticed. It was put together pretty quick, but it came together, and I have the opportunity to come down and see my brothers and sisters and share some fellowship. I'd like to turn to Psalms 34. Some conversations that Brother Phil and I had this morning kind of brought me to this. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack, and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Now there's a lot of good things in this psalm, but there's a couple of verses that I'm going to hit on. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Delivered me from all my fears. Not some of them, not most of them, but all of them. We have fears. Fears come upon us. And the message that is repeated in the Psalms is the same message that is repeated throughout the Word over and over again. The Lord, in his grace and his mercy, is abundant and sufficient to deliver us from our fears and to deliver us from our troubles. Fears and troubles come against us all the time. And as Jesus said, in this life, in this world, you will have tribulation. It's going to happen. It's the way it is. But the message that at all times we can always turn to the Lord to be delivered of anything that comes against us. And it's a very simple and easy concept to do that. It's such an easy thing that often I know for myself, I can skip past that and not think about that. And you may know of a man. There's a man by the name of David Berkowitz. You may know of him as the Son of Sam. He was a serial killer in New York City in the late 70s. He had killed 7 or 8 people, wounded many others. And he was caught, went to prison. And some time ago, I was a little interested in this guy's testimony because in prison, he had turned to the Lord. And reading some articles about this man, there was a particular verse in this Psalms that he testified that brought him to that place of turning to the Lord. And that was verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Again, not some, not most, but all his troubles. This was a man who testified and claimed that his neighbor's dog had the spirit that was speaking to him and telling him to kill these people. And you think you've got troubles. This was a troubled, troubled man. And I don't know how he came to know the word or this particular verse, if somebody brought it to him, if he got his hands on a Bible in prison. I don't know how it came to be about. But he testified that it was this verse that made him realize that he could turn to the Lord. And his testimony was, in an interview he had with another man, that he believed that the sufficiency of God's grace and mercy was sufficient for him, and that the blood of Christ covered those sins. And that's a pretty serious situation that this man was in, facing life in prison or the death penalty. But somehow the Lord got to him, and in the midst of his situation, he knew he could turn to the Lord, and he believed that he could be saved from these things. There is no trouble or fear that comes upon us that cannot be covered by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Situations can look pretty dismal, pretty bad. But the very simple concept of turning to Jesus in any situation is a concept that has been a very simple message throughout the entire word. It was always about turning to God. And knowing, I mean, believe it, know it, that his grace and mercy and forgiveness is abundant and more than sufficient to cover any of it. Turn to the Lord at all times for any situation. Done.
Good morning. Jeepers. I'd like to start in Matthew 14, reading 22 through 33. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Peter saw the wind boisterous. That means he took his eyes off of Jesus and was looking around him. And that's when the fear set in. And that's when his faith didn't hold him up above the water. That's when things started to go south for him, literally. I think back on this week that I've had. Like I was saying on Thursday, we're in a battle. And it's becoming ever present to me. It's in a month we'll be going to, well, I'll be going sooner, but in a month we'll all be going and meeting together in Texas. And the devil doesn't want that. And he's going to fight us at every turn between now and then with anything that he can. And we have to keep our eyes on him. We have to turn to him in everything, just like Carter was saying. In all things, keep your eyes on him. Don't pay any attention to the wind blowing around you. And with this last week, I had sick children, baby rattlesnake in my bedroom in the middle of the night, fell and hurt myself pretty bad. The outcome could have been so much worse. It was really had no effect. Because in all that, I acknowledged him. All that, I kept my eyes on him, and I turned to him to help me through it, and he got me through it just fine. And he is always there for us, but we have to keep our eyes on him. We have to acknowledge him in everything that we do. We have to seek him. Another verse that I came across when I was thinking about this last night was Proverbs 4:25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. If we turn to him and we rely on him to establish all of our ways, and we stay on that path, we will be victorious in him. He'll always see us through. He'll always keep us.
morning, everybody. Just in what's gone forth here, there's just some good stuff. In Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You know, and that trust is not in vain. And it has been said that, you know, his grace and his mercy is sufficient for even me. It's not just sufficient, it's complete. It works. But taste and see. Try him out. He desires for you to know him and how abundant his grace is and how merciful he is and how you can have a relationship that changes who you are. Not just into what he wants you to be, but what he has given you an example. Because it's not done by compulsion. It's done by will, by choice, by submission. Then grab your arm and twist it until you give. Like we did on the playground as kids, that's not how it works. Or Melanie at Matthew, there's just so much good stuff in these. When she went to Matthew 14, I'm sitting here looking at the two pages, and I'm sitting there looking. She was over on my left. I'm sitting there looking over on the right. And, you know, so much of our understanding of what good and fine and upstanding religious performance looks like is so wrong. The Pharisees had these laws that were made to set them apart and make them look good. Dietary laws and ceremonial laws and all this other kind of stuff. In 15:16, Jesus said, "Are ye also without understanding? Do ye not understand that whatsoever entereth in the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. What you eat, it's not it. It's the evil that's already resonant in your heart. Those are the things that defile you and separate you from God. You don't have to sit there and be ruled by that stuff. In Psalm 34, cry out unto the Lord. He will relieve you of bondage to that rule. He wants to do it. His hand's out there, reaching out, waiting for you to grab it and take it. And then there's the taking the and keeping your eyes on Jesus thing. There's a lot of talking about Romans 12, 1 and 2 last week. And then Davey came along and kind of torqued it up a notch. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, I tend to concentrate on the next verse because in our relationship with Jesus, what we're supposed to be doing is being not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What are we being transformed into? The likeness in deed and word and faith of Jesus Christ. That's the level by which you measure success or failure in the faith. He's the standard, which then specifically says that he's doing this as an example. He's trying to show these people how this stuff works so they'll learn and be able to do it themselves. And the incident I'm thinking of out of John 13, where he's washing their feet. This isn't anything like what they expected Messiah to be doing. They expected him to be ruler, conqueror in the natural. Well, he's ruler and conqueror in all ways. But it's a spiritual battle for our souls and our souls of Adam that are in play. It's a warfare. And Davey introduced because Jesus obviously was the one who gave us by example the presenting a body as a living sacrifice. But here's the thing. He didn't do it for himself. He didn't have to do it for himself. He did it for us. That we may be profited in it. That we may receive the grace and mercy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And David raised the standards. You want see God move, and you take the scorn, you take the abuse, and you give yourself in sacrifice that somebody else might know the Lord. That's when God moves. And it's like, me? You're talking to me? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Yeah. Jesus didn't do it for him. He did it for me. If I'm going to be transformed into his likeness, then I'm going to do it for you. Whether you ever really know that I've done it for you or not. Not material. The point is, what we're supposed to be doing is supposed to be profiting those who need his grace, his mercy. And who it is not within their own ability. Because that's the gospel. That's the gospel. Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's not stuck off in a corner somewhere wringing his hands. This stuff, his job's complete. It's finished. But he is an active and living person who's about the business of having relationship with you, that yet still you may be profited. Jesus promised over and over again. What was the promise? That he that believe in me, yet he die, will live again. Death conquers you not. So even if you die in a sacrifice for somebody else, what's it to you? What's it to you? Jesus isn't dead. You won't be either. That's the promise. That's the awesome promise. And you sit here, and again, we're talking about example, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. What does that mean? The author and supplier and demonstrator of faith. He showed how it's done. He showed what it looks like. And he's where you get it from. If it's left up to me to work it up, I'm toast. There's no way I can crank it up, torque it up, energize it myself. I might could fake it, and I could fake it for a little while, but you know, come time to actually show something, there'd be nothing there because it'd be something that I contrived to for appearance' sake. That wouldn't separate me from the Pharisees in any way, manner, or shape, because everything that they did was about looking like they had something they didn't have. But this author and supplier and demonstrator of our faith for the joy that was set before him. That was us having success and learning how to be like him. Endured the cross, despising the shame. It's all done now. Sitting down at the right hand of the Father. His work complete. But his saving, the blood still saves. It still covers sins. The grace is still sufficient for even you, for even me. It's not just sufficient, it's ample and it's complete. It's everything you need. It's everything you need. It's still dynamic, dynamis, the Greek word, the power. It still works. It's still awe-inspiring. It's still amazing. His hand's out there. Don't let this moment pass without taking that hand and grabbing hold of it. For dear life, it is about life and death. Don't go down the tank for no good reason.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him shall I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the
Good morning. Morning, everybody. Is that a little low? You can bring it in a little bit more if you like. You know, as I was listening to you guys this morning, at what part in this whole thing, I mean, when I was looking at it, is that it's anything of what we can contrive ourselves. I mean, you're talking about present yourself a living sacrifice. Then you talk about it being, your mind being renewed, transformed. Well, I mean, I look around. I mean, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen by anybody's great idea or by their research or by any of those things, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. I look at turning unto the Lord. It's because He is well able, not because we are well able. In fact, what we show is we're not well able at all. And then I look, and you look back into the scriptures, and it was interesting because we're reading about Samuel, reading about Saul, and you see where the Spirit of the Lord hit Saul, and all these things, and he became a new man, and so forth, and all these things. And I'm thinking to myself, at what part was did Saul just contrive of this himself? No, he didn't. I mean, those things were all done by the Lord. But I'm reading in Philippians and just looking at that, because really what we do is we choose the Lord. That's the choice before us. We turn unto the Lord. That's the choice before us. Now, He can't make you turn unto Him. He can't make you believe Him. He can't make you do any of these things. It's a choice that you make. But it is Him that works abundantly above we can ask or think. And as I was looking at Saul, in that whole instance, I could see, and it's kind of cracked me up of kind of how Saul was, I can see the similarities that I had with Saul. Now, I mean, I could simply try to deceive myself, and as I look at the Pharisees, and as I look at these other guys, and the first generation of the children of Israel, and the children of Israel once again turning to their own ways over and over and over again. And as I can look at those things, I can actually just receive resemblance of myself. Now, I could deceive myself and say, oh, I'm like David. Well, no, the truth of the matter is I am not at all. I am not at all. And a lot of us, and the majority of us, are not. We sit back, we justify ourselves, we give reason and place why we are just justified in our own unbelief. And then we sit back and then we just wonder why things just don't work out. Wonder why we don't have that deliverance. Wonder why these things aren't just overflowing. Might have been going to 1 John. And in 1 John it says, if we say we do not have sin, we deceive ourselves. Kind of paraphrasing ourselves, but we deceive ourselves. I mean, how many times have we gone about establishing in our own way, and when the thing that is before us to do, we don't do, and we justify ourselves why we can't do it? I mean, shoot, it's unbelievable. I mean, I can just look into myself. I can just look right in myself, solely right in my own heart. And I can just look past in this own past week and see it. I can see the unbelief. I can see that I am no different than Saul at all, trying to justify myself in unbelief. I mean, it's right there before me. It's right there before me. Then yet I gotta choose, man. I gotta go to the Lord. I gotta repent. I gotta cast those things off. I gotta put them under my feet. I gotta trot all over it and start choosing to believe Him, because it is Him that is well able. Man, when I start looking at myself, when I start looking at what I can do, when I start looking at my own ability, I mean, just freaking hang it up, man. I'm doomed, and that's what ends up happening. Everything around me seems to be falling apart. Everything around me seems I can't get above. I can't get up top of the situation. And the whole thing is I'm trying to do it myself. I'm trying to do it with my own strength, my own ability, and I think my own plan is the best one. And so it's kind of like I run into that wall, and it's kind of like, hello, McFly, wake up. You're trying to do this thing on your own. Here's the Lord's hand, like you said, Paul. It's right out there for you to take it. Amen. Just like Psalm says in Carter's reading, turn unto the Lord. Try Him. I mean, it's right there. And here I am. There's the hand. I'm over here on the other side of the room trying to do my own thing, trying to get this thing accomplished. And he's, you know, the whole time he's like, I'm over here, dummy. Oh, yeah, Lord. And it's amazing when you just turn and you take that hand and all those things just calm right down, just as Peter. When he started sinking, he started paying attention to those winds and those storms. And as he turned and his hand was down outstretched, Peter grabbed on the hand, boom, he was right on top of the water again. Right on top of the water again. So where do we have the boast in these things? Where? None. He gets all the glory. He was supposed to. That's how it's meant to be. If you're looking and seeking to try to glorify thyself, man, it's not going to work out for you. But when we get ourselves in a mess, we reach out, we grab His hand, we're on top of that water, He gets the glory. Praise God, that's what it's about. Because I tell you, what I do and what I don't do is not going to be for anybody's help or their salvation. But if I point them to Jesus Christ, the Savior, then that's going to be, amen, praise the Lord, because Jesus can save them. Jesus can save them, not me. Never could. I mean, if you take a look at me trying to save myself, oh my goodness, it's ugly. In fact, I almost killed myself a few times being an idiot. But see, that's the power of the Lord. That's how good our God is. And if we're trying to hang on to establish still our own righteousness and walk by this walk of faith with our own mindset and with our own way and in our own strength and trying to transform ourselves, I mean, you might as well just hang it up, man. Just let those things go. And just turn to Him. Believe and trust in Him. You go about in it in humility. The things that are set before you in humility. Recognize who's great. Who's the strong one? That's Jesus Christ. He's well able. I want to start reading Philippians a little bit. And in Philippians 3, you know, I don't know really where to start on this thing. I guess I'll start in 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness, which is of God by faith. Not having found mine own righteousness. And that's just the biggest key right there. Man, we don't have nothing. We don't have nothing. I'm glad Carter used that point of the serial killer there. Because that point right then and there, man, if you're judging on a scale of, man, I'm not like him, you've already lost. You've already lost. Because we don't have of our own righteousness that's going to save anything. It's not going to do us any good. If we're trying to establish that, we're no different than the Pharisees in that situation. No, it's about Jesus Christ and his righteousness and that free gift he gives to us. And we simply receive it through humility and faith. It's all about him and what he's able to do. And when you see that chance, when you see that spirit, I mean, when that spirit of God came upon Saul when he became anointed king, everybody knew it. I mean, he was a new man. He was a new man. He was changed, man. And when the Lord actually does a work, and when that grace of the Lord is upon you, man, it is there. It's noble. There's a transforming. There's a renewing. And that's something that he puts on you. Because you received it. And see, when you try to go and you try to establish your own righteousness and do these things your own way, what you do is you actually take that free gift he has for you and you put it off. And you turn around and you put on that old man again. And you try to conquer that thing in your old man, which is never going to work. It's doomed for destruction. It's not going to work out. And how many times do we go back to that old familiar way? I mean, that sucker just creeps right up on you, doesn't it? That sucker creep right up on you. The sin that which does so easily besets us. That old carnal man. And we take upon that thing and we actually let go of God. We walk out of God's righteousness. We walk out of his body. We walk in our own, try to do this thing in our own strength. And it just fails. Man, put that thing off. I remember Davey was preaching, I think it was a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about just turning your back on the flesh, man. You just turn your back on that thing. And you turn unto the Lord. Grab his hand. Let him do that perfect work. You believe, you trust in him. And I'm not sitting back and you wait and you sit there and wait for God to do it. You'd be waiting for a long time. No, it's you that makes the choice to turn around. And when you do and you grab onto that hand, you know there's a difference. You know there's a thing that changed. And you watch as those waves, and the boisterous winds are no more. Or they can be all around you, but it don't affect you one bit. see, the Lord's good. His hand is outstretched. It's right there for you to take. But you got to let go of all that other garbage. You got to let go of that old man, those old ways, that old line of thinking, that carnal noggin that you carry around. You got to take that cap off, boom, and put on his. He's giving you everything you need. When I looked at Saul and the things that was out before him, he was set up to be given everything he needed. But yet he went and went about his own way. You look at the children of Israel coming out of the desert. Man, they were set up. They were given everything they needed. But they would not have it. And you go on and on and on and on through the scripture and Old Testament. You see examples and examples and examples of the people, the children of Israel, having everything they need to go walk forward in the Lord and to do be a part of his plan. But they would not have it. Are you in the same place? Are you in the same place? Ask yourself. Don't tell me. Get with the Lord. Get honest before the Lord. Because that can change. You can repent of that. You know, I was doing that Bible study that other night. And oh my goodness, it was like a wake-up call. It was like, it was just like, hello? Hello, I am set up around me where I'm given everything I need to be victorious in Jesus Christ. And if I'm walking in defeat, and if I'm walking in defeat and terror and fear, it's nobody's fault but my own. I am handed out the victory. It's there set before me. But if I don't grab a hold of it and walk in it, there's nobody going to be to blame. I can't blame my family, I can't blame my brothers and sisters in the Lord, I can't blame my authorities in the Lord, I can't blame the people at work, I can't blame any of those people. It's all square right on me if I don't walk in that victory. That's nobody else's fault but my own. And really, the victory is handed to me on a silver platter just as it is for all of you. So let's go of all the nonsense that comes against the knowledge of Christ. Every high thing that exalts against the knowledge of Christ, let it go. Cast it out. Trodden it down. Put it down. He's given you the victory. He's given you the keys. Take it. Take it. Don't walk in the defeat. Don't walk in the fears. Don't walk into the enemy's devices that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Because it's there for anybody. It's there for you and it's there for me. Don't try to walk around having your own righteousness. Ain't gonna work out. You have none. You're a sinner just as much as that serial killer. Just as much. You ain't no better. But God is good. And that's what we need to hang on to. Amen.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.